Blog Talk Radio.
This is Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla. Make sure you check us out on blogtalkradio.com. Get Deep and Keep It Real. You can also find us on Facebook, Get Deep and Keep It Real, and of course on Twitter. If you have any questions, you're more than welcome to hit us up on our Facebook account and on our Twitter account. So any comments or questions or any special requests for guests or show topics, please always feel free to hit us up on Facebook or Twitter. And if you would like to call into the show, please do. Our number is 347-215-9738. That's 347-215-9738. You're listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla. You're listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla. How are you this Thursday afternoon? It's October. Can you believe it? Wow. The year is just flying by. Well, I have a very deep show for you today. When I booked the show, I didn't even realize that today was National Depression Day. And a topic that's extremely close to me and dear to my heart. But not only am I going to be discussing depression today, but I'm also going to be talking about suicide. And I just really felt that this was an important topic to discuss because it's something we really don't like to talk about. It makes us feel uncomfortable. We try to, you know, not think about it, not talk about it, deny that it happened, but it does. And, you know, we shouldn't be surprised when we see a Robin Williams or Kurt Cobain, a Phyllis Hyman commit suicide, because every day someone that you come in contact with could possibly be thinking about suicide. Every day in this country, at least 22 veterans decide to take their lives. Every day, some active duty military person may be thinking about taking their lives. Every day, every second, every minute, every hour, a child, a man, a woman may be thinking about taking their own lives. So they don't have to look sad. They don't have to seem depressed or crazy. They could just be perfectly fine, but feel like they don't have anyone to speak to. So today I want to dedicate this show to those soldiers, to those little black boys and girls, white boys and girls, Asian boys and girls, men and women out there who feel like they don't have a choice, who felt like they didn't have a choice, no one to talk to, no one to turn to. So this show is dedicated to them. This show is dedicated to my younger self, to that young girl in middle school who felt like her life wasn't valuable. This show is dedicated to that younger me serving in the military who felt like I had no other option. So this just goes out to each and every one of you, no matter how rich or how poor you are. Suicide doesn't matter. It doesn't care about how rich or how poor you are, how successful you are. It just is. It just happens. It just makes you feel that way. So if you think you may know someone who feels that way, you don't have to try to fix them or necessarily help them. Just be there to listen. Even if it's for 5 minutes, you don't necessarily, they may not necessarily need your advice. They might just want someone to listen to them. And on the opposite end, if you feel like you don't have anyone to talk to, please call a national hotline. Sometimes it's better to talk to someone that you don't know. It makes it a little bit easier. So whether it's a friend, not a friend, church, clergy, school official, just reach out to someone because you're not alone. There's always someone out there who's maybe dealing with the same issues that you are, and maybe they're keeping it to themselves as well. So please, if you feel like you want to take your own life, please reach out to someone. And I want to say thank you to my middle school guidance counselor, Mrs. Hinton. I'll never forget her. She helped save my life. So if you're listening, thank you. Well, let's go on with the show. I have an awesome guest for us today, Dr. Nadia Richardson. And I apologize. I didn't think this was going to affect me as much as it has, but it is what it is. So let's get Dr. Richardson on the phone. I'm excited to have her. She's been doing a lot of work in this area, and she has a lot of expertise and information to share with us today. Dr. Richardson, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me on. And thank you for being so transparent. That introduction is beautiful. When you allow yourself to be that vulnerable, it really encourages others to do the same thing and be honest with themselves and with others, let them know that things are affecting them.
Thank you. Believe me, it was kind of like by chance. I didn't realize today, scheduling the show, like I said, that it was National Depression Day. And then I actually had my own little mental health appointment today that I had to, like, just go back to some stuff that I necessarily didn't want to revisit, but, you know, that's the process. And I think I discussed with you before, and as many of my listeners know, I am in school to be a marriage and family therapist. And sometimes before we can help others, we have to kind of get ourselves together so that we can be more effective with helping others. So sometimes that just means, you know, you have to revisit the past to make a better future. So once again, thank you for joining us. So could you please let my audience know who you are, what you do, and this wonderful organization that you have going on?
Thank you. So I'm the founder of Val and Rich Wellness, which is a company that does mental health awareness training, diversity training, suicide prevention training, advocacy training. And my approach to mental health is a little different because I'm actually an educator. My background, I'm a first-generation American. I focus on diversity training, cultural competency training. But when I was in graduate school and was doing my research on diversity, I decided to look at hidden disabilities, such as mental health, and incorporate them into the diversity discussion. So in a way, I talk about mental health the same way I talk about race, class, and gender. How do we experience mental health? How do we discriminate against individuals who live successfully with the mental health concern? And how does that discrimination prevent them from, you know, sharing their concerns, from being very open and transparent with individuals so that they can get the help that they need. When I started looking at it that way and started doing some research, the findings that I discovered were associated with a lot of just silence, stigma and silence, individuals not sharing their concerns, but a lot of cultural reasons and societal reasons why they were not sharing their concerns. And based on those findings, I just developed training, and that's what I do through Val and Rich Wellness. I also founded the No More Martyrs Mental Health Awareness Campaign, and that actually was launched earlier this year. I believe it was around April, and the kind of catalyst for that was the passing of Karen Washington, and that got a bit of news coverage, and I'm sure you heard about that. She was the founder of the Brown Girls. She had this online following. She spoke of self-empowerment. She spoke about embracing your skin, and she specifically talked about dark skin and, you know, the color issues that we sometimes have with dark skin in the Black community. And she even addressed and spoke openly about representation of women in hip-hop and the kind of, you know, impact that can have on self-esteem. So she had this following, and for all intents and purposes, she was strong, educated, People looked up to her. She was admired. And then this happened. She decided to take her life. And so it kind of caught everyone off guard and made people think, well, what does suicide look like? And I think Robin Williams kind of had that same impact too, because he had such a career, such a legacy, such a following. But what does it look like when someone has those types of concerns? They're not always going to be the ones who are curled up in the corner crying, who appear to be falling apart. They're going to look like your CEO. They're going to look like your superwoman, and they can handle all things. And we'll never really know what her reasons were, and we really don't need to know. What we need to understand is that it could happen to any one of us, and that the conversations need to continue after these type of tragedies are experienced. So based on her passing, there was a lot of chatter about it online, a lot of discussion groups talking about how could this happen. She got news coverage. And in my mind, I just thought, wow, we're talking about it now, but the next thing is going to happen, and she's not going to be in the headlines anymore. So how can we keep this conversation up, you know, once the next thing happens? And so that's where No More Martyrs came from. And the purpose of that mental health awareness campaign is really to build an online community of support. I want to continue those conversations. I want individuals to be able to access the website and access the Facebook page and the Twitter accounts, and know that they can have those conversations amongst themselves. They can have those conversations with professionals. They can access resources, and they don't have to be ashamed to do so.
Exactly. I mean, you've just brought up so many points and that I wanted to discuss today, just the whole stigma, because it's just not, you know, in the African-American community, in the Asian community as well, you know, there's this stigma about suicide, and so many of us are unwilling to discuss it, but I find it quite interesting that in the African-American community, our men are killing themselves. But we're not talking about it. You know, the numbers don't really show Black women committing suicide that much. But I want to point this out, that suicide doesn't necessarily have to be by one's own hand. I think in some ways, I think I heard on somebody said it on a news program, and it just really affected me, that often we're killing ourselves by drugs, by unprotected sex. So it may not be that physical act, you personally taking some pills or putting a gun to your head or hanging yourself or something like that, but just that act of having serial unprotected sex or taking drugs is an act of suicide in itself as well.
Sure. I think what ends up happening in those cases is those are unhealthy coping mechanisms, right? And a lot of times that's what someone can access should they not be taking, you know, advantage of other healthy coping resources.
Right.
So counselor, psychiatrist, faith leader, or life coach, or even all of the above. And I think that there is a lot of misunderstanding about who you access and what for. And this idea that if you access one, you can't access another. So, for example, you're talking about specifically in the, you know, the Black community, African American community, faith is a big thing. There's this idea that if you go to church, that's all you need, that you will be healed, that you will be provided with the foundation that you need to work through and bear up. And be strong enough to cope with whatever you feel like you're dealing with. And the problem with that is that, you know, mental health is biological. It is psychological. It is chemical. It is a lot of different things. And so while there are social and cultural factors that can serve as support systems, a lot of times in and of themselves it may not be sufficient. For situational depression, depending on the level, sure, if you just got a divorce, perhaps. But it doesn't have to be one or the other. There's no reason to not go to your pastor and a counselor. Or if you feel like you need an even, you know, medication or something, to go see a psychiatrist and a counselor and a life coach. It's not that you have to use one or the other. You can actually create your own treatment team and utilize all of those services at once.
Can you explain to us, like, what the difference is? are between
sure.
those people and
sure,
kind of
sure.
what they can and can't do?
Well, you know, of course, faith leaders, they are just that. They're faith leaders, they're community members, they're well-versed in their scripture, depending on denomination and the rituals of the churches that they oversee. So a lot of times they will be, you know, some do acquire, you know, seminary training, and some seminary training actually does incorporate a broad-based understanding of counseling techniques, not licensed counselors by any means, mm-hmm. but just kind of providing them with some strategies on how to interact and engage with their congregation and their members when they come to them with specific concerns. That training is really just a more intensive form of how can I be your role model, your support system, mm-hmm. your community member. Very beneficial, and I don't ever want to take away from the importance and the value of your faith leaders. However, CNN a few years back did some interviews of church pastors in the Atlanta area, and the pastors themselves were saying, we are not equipped or trained to handle some of the concerns that our congregation are coming to us with. We can tell them to pray and to meditate and that we are here for them. But if there's something else going on where we feel like they might need to see a counselor or psychiatrist, then really the difficulty that we're having is to convince them that it's okay to access them and that it's not an example of a lack of faith on their part or a character flaw on their part. So pastors in and of themselves have already expressed that they need some training on how to direct, you know, members who may express some form of mental health concern to other resources. Licensed counselors are individuals who have gone on through college, have gone on to masters, have gone on to a certain level of education where they have trainings, they have their license, they have several licenses actually to provide services, and then they have strategies. And so they can diagnose and even to a certain extent, you know, prescribe medication, but not to the level, for example, of a psychiatrist. Psychiatrists are MDs. They're doctors. They've gone to medical school. And so their approach is going to be something that focuses on not therapy, but, you know, chemical imbalance, biological factors, heredity, those types of things. So they're going to be focused more on the medical aspect of it and then absolutely are qualified for education. And again, that's probably why I believe that it's important to utilize both if you can, because psychiatrists aren't necessarily going to provide therapy, but a counselor is going to be the one to sit down and talk to you and really provide that therapy and provide that foundation and provide that support so that you can get to a better understanding of how to approach your life in a healthier way.
Right. Because I think a lot of times we're in this instant gratification, quick fix mode here in this country. And so a lot of times therapy is just kind of skipped over. And myself being a veteran, I used to get very annoyed with the VA because at one point in time, all they wanted to do was give you medicine and skip mm-hmm. everything else. And they're slowly becoming to realize that that doesn't work. You have to either do both or like, do therapy and then medication or a combination thereof. I mean, basically my approach is no one should be given medicine unless they're in therapy. That, I think that just should be a hard line rule across
well,
the board, whether you're a veteran or not.
Sure. Hard line rules, though, when it comes to mental health are difficult because every situation is going to be different. There are going to be individuals who you're going to have to get them in and get them medicated before you can get them to the point where they will be receptive to therapy. There are some of those extreme cases. And I think that's another thing that's difficult about mental health is that we are talking the gamut, right? We are talking about individuals mm-hmm. who have depression, anxiety, PTSD, any number of different forms of mental health distress, and all the way up to, you know, schizophrenia. And
right.
if you are having a psychotic break, if you are delusional, if you are hearing voices, if all of those things are taking place, therapy isn't going to be necessarily your entry into treatment. Your entry into treatment is probably going to be something that's going to get you to that point where treatment would be more receptive.
Great.
So that's another thing. Another thing that I really and I've had this conversation a couple times this week, and there's a really fantastic article that a friend of mine brought to my attention on girl.com. It's GURL.com. And it was a blog post that was, the title is, Why It's Okay I'll Never Recover from My Anxiety. There's this idea, and it kind of piggybacks off of what you just said about the quick fix. There's this idea that you're going to cure your mental health concern. And in a sense, it's not something that's going to be cured. If you have experienced it at one point, you can treat it, you can learn how to manage it, but it can flare up again. And life situations and circumstances can bring you back to that point where you find yourself in distress again. So it's really about just managing that tide, that wave of the ups, the downs, the good days, the bad days, the days where medication seems not to be working, that's not working. It's really just about managing it. So it's not really about, oh, I'm going to go to therapy. I'm going to be seen a couple of times. I'm going to take my medication. And then after 6 months, I'll be cured. It's not that. If you've experienced depression at one point in your life, chances are you're going to be dealing with it throughout your life. And same thing with anxiety. And for example, that blog post that I just mentioned, she was just talking about living with her anxiety. And it has good days and it has bad days. And it's hard to explain to individuals who don't live with those concerns, because when you're having good days, they get the impression that you're fine. Oh, you're good. You're great. So then when you go back to having your bad days, you're just like, what happened? I thought you were fine. Like, you know, so those types of things. It's really about broadening understanding, getting understanding of what your own experiences are, but educating individuals around you so that they know how to support you.
Mm-hmm. And I would like to get your opinion on, I'm a big advocate personally of alternative methods to help with mental illness. That is diet.
Yes.
Meaning what you're putting in your body, not necessarily staying away. Well, yes, kind of. It's been shown that processed foods aren't that great for you when you maybe have mental health concerns. Making sure you're getting enough sunlight, exercise, acupuncture, different things like that. What's your opinion on integrative therapy, I guess you could call it?
I believe in it wholeheartedly. I think the issue is a lot of times when you talk about mental health, people disassociate, right? When they think of mental health, they're talking about that person over there. And they don't understand mental health affects us all. If you experience a traumatic experience in your life, then you could be thrust into depression. You could have PTSD, like you mentioned. If you're in an accident, any type of thing could happen to you where you experience a traumatic incident. Now your mental health and your ability to focus, your approach to life has shifted drastically. So when you talk about mental health, it's really not about, these types of treatment plans work for these people over here because they have mental health concerns. It really is about holistic wellness. What is going to benefit us all? And what's going to benefit us all is if we sleep well, get enough hours of sleep, if we exercise, if we, limit electronic entertainment, which is difficult to say in this day and age, right? Because everybody wants their TV and they're on computers all day at work and they want their music. But really limiting time on that, getting outside more, developing a sense of community in whatever community you're in. So if you're on a military base, if you're in a college, if you are in your neighborhood, all of these types of things are about they foster your mental wellness. So a lot of times when I'm doing workshops and I'm coming in, and I think people believe that I'm coming in to say, well, this is what you need to do to support people who you have in your lives who have mental health concerns. No, this is what you need to do to foster your own mental wellness, because just like any other illness or any other accident, you could find yourself in the situation to need these services. You could find yourself in a situation where you need this type of support, and you need to be able to communicate to individuals how they can support you. So it really is about us all. It's not just focusing on this person or that person or this person. We do talk about individuals who, get the attention. Like you mentioned, men of color and, the unfortunate passing of Lee Thompson Young, who last year, I think it was last year, suicide.
Yes, it was.
That was hard, for young, our age group, because we remember him in Disney, right? He grew up and he was doing film and, seemingly healthy. Those types of things throw us for a loop, and they start the conversation. They get the conversation going. But what we need to recognize, this is not them over there. We need to bring that conversations into our own communities and talk to our grandparents. when I was doing my research, what I found was a lot of generational silence. You know, young people were not letting their parents know or their grandparents know that they had mental health concerns, but at the same time, their grandparents weren't letting them know that they take antidepressants. So if I am a young lady who feels like, oh my gosh, I have a mental health concern and I, you know, I'm in college and my family is depending on me. I'm the first one to go to college. I have this pressure on me. I can't fail them. I don't want to stress them out, so I'm not going to say anything. But the whole time, you think that you're the only one in your family who's living with these types of concerns. Someone else in your family is living with it and is not sharing their experiences. And so because that lack of communication is there, you're kind of, you know, you don't have that support. You don't have that understanding that you're not alone. You end up feeling alone.
Yeah.
So really just getting those lines of communication open. This is something that you should be talking to your girlfriends about, your family members about, your church members about, your coworkers about. It's so important to incorporate mental wellness into corporate wellness programs. So the individuals when they're at work, like how much do we hear about, and it's so unfortunate when it happens, it recently happened here in Birmingham at UPS, where, you know, there's a shooting or there's some kind of violent outburst, and I'm very reluctant to even bring that up because, you know, individuals who have mental health concerns have no greater propensity towards violence than others. I know that there's this understanding that, you know, if you have a mental health concern, you're more likely to go harm someone, but individuals with mental health concerns are more likely to harm themselves. These violent outbursts just end up getting the media coverage that makes it seem like only individuals who are having mental distress act out in these ways. But with that being said, stress can push somebody to the point where, you know, time management, money management, these are all aspects of mental wellness. These are all aspects of making sure that we are doing the things that we need to do to take care of ourselves. Because if we don't, when we experience something like a layoff or a bankruptcy or any number of those things, it could thrust us into, you know, a really mental, distressful situation.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are some myths that might be floating out there about suicide, about mental health, that you would like to dispel?
The myths that I talk about the most that relate really to my research is that for, and this specifically relates to Black women, that you have to be strong all the time. You have to be strong. I'm a strong Black woman. I am fearless. I can handle it all. I carry the weight of my community on my shoulders. I am you, Mother Earth and mother of all people, those types of things. And so we don't ask for help, and we don't access resources. And sometimes we're moving so fast and we're so busy that we're not even sitting still long enough to recognize that something's going on with us. We deny ourselves even just the opportunity to say, hey, I think I might need to go talk to someone. And you can only bottle that up for so long. And so I think that the myth to me is that strength does not include vulnerability. Vulnerability is not weakness, it's humanness. And I'm strong when I'm crying. I'm strong when I'm anxious and exhausted. I'm strong regardless. I'm strong even on my I'm strong on my up days. I'm strong on my down days. I'm strong when I ask for help. I'm strong when I tell you I know how to do this and I got it. And I'm strong when I tell you, you know what, I can't do this right now. I need some help. I'm strong at every point of that because I am human, and my vulnerability is just an expression of that humanness. So I feel like strength is a real issue. That's a finding that came up in my research a number of times with the women that I talked to, just that they felt like they had no other option but to be strong at all times. And that's just not natural, and it's certainly not healthy. Let's see. Another myth might be that, I kind of talk about self-advocacy as a form of activism, or activism really is a form of self-advocacy. And what I mean by that is there's this kind of sense of, and this, again, probably relates more so to underrepresented minority populations. If you feel like you're experiencing a form of discrimination or oppression of some in some way, shape, form, or fashion, this idea that you have, there's nothing you can do to address that, this hopelessness, well, that's just the way it is. that's just life, that's just the world we live in, those types of things. Rather than addressing them, that hopelessness can contribute to anxiety, it can contribute to depression, it can contribute to mental distress. So if you can imagine, if I'm a mother in a low-income community and my school system is the school system that my child is zoned for is not adequate, they're not preparing them for the future. There is violence. The teachers there are not invested in the, you know, success of my child. But I am forced, because of where I'm zoned, to put my child into this school. And if I don't put my child into this school, I will be arrested for keeping my child out.
Nice.
Those types of things can cause, imagine the stress and anxiety of that mother who is now having to take her child to a school that she doesn't believe in.
Right.
I believe that self-advocacy says that I can advocate and be community involved in improving some of those services, improving the school systems, improving police, watches in my neighborhood, improving things in my neighborhood. And that empowers me. It gives me back my power. And by giving back my power, I'm fostering my mental wellness. If I don't address it, I'm allowing it to dismantle me mentally. If I address it, I'm fostering my own mental wellness. And that provides a certain level of ownership, but also power, and I think that contributes to mental wellness.
Wow, that was awesome.
Thank you.
I can't believe we're out of time already. In the brief minutes, seconds that we have left, I would like for you to please once again let everyone know about your website you have out there, so that if they have more questions or want more information, they have some way of contacting you. And also, could you just kind of squeeze in, if anyone needs help, maybe just quickly kind of coming, letting us know some places where we can access for help.
Sure, sure. Well, I will say this. I really appreciate you again inviting me to do this. This is Mental Illness Awareness Week, as you kind of touched on. It's also National Depression Screening Day. It's also National Domestic Violence Awareness Month. It's also Prevention Bullying Month. All of these things have a thread of mental health attached to it, and tomorrow is World Mental Health Day. For individuals who are interested in, accessing services, understand that there are federal and governmental agencies that are available to provide resources and information. So the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, and you just have to maybe Google SAMHSA to get that.
Yeah, SAMHSA or something like that. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Which is, a governmental agency, and you can go there, and it will actually direct you to even some local things. The National Alliance on Mental Illness is also very good. They usually have state chapters and city chapters, so you can log on to the national website, which is NAMI.org, and they provide services. You can connect to me on Valen Rich Wellness, which is just valenrichwellness.com, and you can connect to us on social media through Facebook. You can connect to the No More Martyrs Mental Health Awareness Campaign on Facebook and Twitter, and sign up for the newsletter. We're going to start informational webinars that are interactive. And the whole purpose of these things is to build an online community of support. And the amazing thing is that people reach out. As soon as these things are put out there, people started contacting me. And, again, I'm an educator. So if it's a specific concern, I provide them with resources. If they're looking to go talk to a psychiatrist, you can go here. If you want to go talk to a counselor, you can go here. If they're asking for specific forms of information, I provide it. So really, I'm just there to provide information and to get them comfortable with accessing services, because that's really, at the end of the day, the important thing is that there's no shame in accessing the services that you need to make sure that you are living fully healthy, mentally, the individual that you need to be.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Richardson, for educating us and enriching our lives with all the information that you shared with us. And I would love for you to come back anytime you feel like you need a platform or you have something you need to get out. You're more than welcome to come back to our show at any time. And I might reach out to you for my expert mental health awareness person.
Please
anytime
do.
Anytime I need some help and such.
Please do.
We at Get Deep and Keep It Real, really, really thank you.
Thank you so much for the invitation. I really appreciate it. It's my passion. I love getting this information out there because it's so important.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Get Deep and Keep It Real with Tiffany Camilla. I hope you enjoy the show. And if you have any questions or comments, please don't hesitate to hit me up on Facebook at Get Deep and Keep It Real or on Twitter, Get Deep and Keep It Real. This was a very informative, deep conversation, very emotional. But I hope you were able to learn something. And remember, if you are feeling like you don't have anyone out there, please hit me up on Facebook. I'll try to get you in contact with someone who can help you or reach out to a friend, family, or just someone if you feel like you are alone, because you're not. You're never alone. And once again, this show is dedicated to all of those who felt like they didn't have a choice, family, friends, entertainers, soldiers, all of the above. Peace, love, and happiness to you, yours, and your family. And you guys have a great day. And stay tuned for another Get Deep and Keep It Real next week. I think we might be talking about either domestic violence again, or we may actually get into, can a person of another race effectively raise a child of a different race? I think you've all heard about the woman who had an insemination and it was from a person of a different race. So I think that's what we might talk about next week. But stay tuned. Connect with me on Facebook or Twitter, and I'll have the show updates there. All right. You have a great week. And until next week, love, peace, happiness, and health to you.